So we've been discussing the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, sending away the mother bird when you want to take the chicks or the eggs that you find. And we've been trying to get to the bottom of, well, I don't know if we can really get to the bottom, but learn about different approaches to what the mitzvah is all about. Typically, I don't think we're going to spend more than 1 week on a particular mitzvah, but this just has so much, you know, it seems like such a simple mitzvah, and there's so much discussion about what's going on and relating it to the Gemara that we discussed last week. That Gemara, it's a Mishnah in Brachos, really. The Mishnah said that if somebody says that Hashem's mercy is upon the birds, and they say this in davening, the Mefarshim say, if when you're davening, you say, just as Hashem's mercy is on the birds, so it should be on us. So it says in the Mishnah, you have to silence that person. You're not supposed to say that. And the Gemara brought two explanations for the reason. The first one was because you are going to create jealousy among the different creations. If you're focusing on the fact that, oh, Hashem has mercy on the birds, and the other creations, the other animals will be jealous when we highlight that. And the second opinion, which is really what we focus more on, the second opinion said that because you're making the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attributes of Hashem, rachamim, you're making them out to be merciful, the einon ela gzeros, and they're really simply decrees. And we have many, numerous approaches to that, and we'll learn more this week about that. We learned Rashi, and really the Rambam seems to share that approach. Rashi said that you're making it as if the mitzvot were meant to be merciful on the creatures, and it's not true. They're just to give us mitzvot, to give us commandments, to be able to show that we are servants of Hashem and we keep His mitzvot. And the Rambam seems to share that opinion, but the Rambam says, no, but certainly there are reasons behind mitzvot, and you'll ask me about this Gemara, and the Rambam says, we don't paskin like that Gemara. We go with the other opinion that there are reasons to mitzvot. There are, it's not simply just, you know, a decree that is meant just to see if we can follow. And the Rambam took the approach that the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is because even though it's true we need sustenance and Hashem created the world for us and we can eat certain animals, but still Hashem wanted us to get those animals in a merciful way, and so when we're taking the birds, we're merciful on the mother bird. And the Ramban had a slightly different approach. He also understood that there's a reason to this and it's an act of mercy, but the purpose of it is not to be merciful on the bird. Rather, it's for us to learn mercy, to learn that midah, to develop it within ourselves. And it's not about the, you know, that Hashem wanted to be merciful on the birds. It's that Hashem wanted to train us to be merciful. And based on this, the Ramban has a different approach to the Gemara. The Ramban says that what the Gemara is saying is, you are making the, by saying, oh, Hashem's mercy is upon the birds, you're saying that the purpose of this mitzvah is to have mercy on the birds. And it's not true. It's all just a gezeira. It's like any other mitzvah. It doesn't mean it doesn't have a reason. What the Gemara means is it's like any other mitzvah that it's there to train us. It's not there, you know, the bird isn't the focus here. The focus is the Jewish people. The focus is that it's training us to be Rahman and to be merciful. Now, we left off with another approach to this mitzvah, which was the approach of the Zohar. And the Zohar had a very, you know, completely opposite approach than the Ramban and the Rambam. And the Zohar understood that this mitzvah is not an act of mercy. It's the exact opposite. It's actually an act of cruelty. What's the point of it then? You know, are we just trying to be cruel? So the Yaros Tavash quotes from the Zohar, and he says that the Zohar describes how when you send away the mother bird and then you take its chicks, it comes back and it's looking for them. Where are they? and starts to freak out, and it even says that it flies from one roof to the other, maybe it will find them. And the malach that's in charge, the angel that's in charge of the birds, takes this little bird and brings it up to Hashem, and he says that, look at the tzar, look at the pain that this bird is suffering. And he says, and what about the tzar of Klal Yisrael as a whole, that the children have been exiled and they're not at home, and it's to awaken Hashem's mercy upon us, and that's the purpose. Really, it is an act of cruelty, but the point is to show, you know, to awaken Hashem's mercy for us, to show that we're also suffering, and Hashem should have mercy on us. And Mr. Joseph likes that approach. Now, based on this approach, we can have a new reading of the Gemara. And the Rav Yonah and Eifshitz and the Vilna Gaon both say this. That's what the Gemara is referring to when it says that you're making the midos, the attributes of Hashem, into mercy, and really they're just decrees. Because it's referring to this approach, this understanding of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. You're making it out, the Gemara is saying, you're making out the mitzvah to be an act of mercy. You got it all wrong. It's a gezeira, it's a decree. It's not at all an act of mercy, and it's the exact opposite. It's an act of achzarios, it's an act of cruelty, but it's to serve a purpose. The Vilna Gaon develops this idea, and he says that, you know, to be a true Eved Hashem, a true servant of Hashem, so, you know, mercy will hopefully come naturally to us, and we understand it makes sense within our society that's a good thing, and really that's, you know, the Torah guides us that way, and we're supposed to emulate Hashem, and Hashem is merciful. But at the end of the day, in order to really show that we're true servants of Hashem, we have to be able to go against our nature. He compares it to Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. Avram Avinu spends his whole life telling the world, right? They used to sacrifice their children to their idols, you know, put their children through fire. And Avram, he was the biggest outreach person of all time. And he came to the people and he said, like, you're serving this idol who wants your children to be killed. Well, my God is a loving God, and you know, he doesn't ask for these types of things, and that was sort of his selling point, that, you know, this is our serving Hashem, serving the one and only, you know, that's a good thing, it's a nice thing, and Hashem is a loving God and merciful. All of a sudden, Hashem comes to him and says, sacrifice your son. That's the ultimate test for Avram, right? Be cruel. Go against your nature. Go against what you think is normal. That's why it's the ultimate test. Because it goes against everything he's been teaching, everything he's saying. But that's what shows if you're a real Eved Hashem, a real servant of Hashem, has to be able to go against what's natural. And says the Vilna Gaon, that's the idea behind this mitzvah. We have two mitzvahs that are similar. We'll maybe talk more about the comparison a little bit. And they both promise longevity, a long life. Honoring parents, and Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. And honoring parents is surely, you know, it's merciful, it's kind. Shiluach HaKen is the opposite, according to this. It's cruel. But it's the will of Hashem. It shows that you're willing to go against your nature and the outlook of society, because Hashem says that's what you're going to do. So that's another approach. Now, someone brought up last week an interesting question. He really assumed in a certain direction, which was, what if you stumble upon a nest and you see a bird sitting on the egg, but you have no interest in the egg? It's all kosher, this mitzvah was only with a kosher bird, kosher egg, everything's kosher, but you don't want the egg. Do you still have a mitzvah to send away the mother bird? You have no interest in the egg. So this was a question discussed by the Acharonim, the later commentaries, and the first to discuss it, as far as I know, it could be others discussed it earlier, but the one that's quoted is the Chavos Yair, and the Chassam Sofer quotes from the Chavos Yair, that the Chavos Yair had this question, and the Chavos Yair seems decided, Paskins, that you should still send away the mother bird.
So it's almost like a larger Gemara over here, but we're just going to kind of extract.
Right.
Right. That for a mitzvah you pay up to a third.
Shoo away the mother bird.
That's what he said. Where does he get that from? So he says, because the Gemara has a question. The Gemara, really, it's a drasha. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk. The Gemara says, how do I know that you... It says, I might have thought that you need to go off the mountains and the forest to look for a bird to send away. That's why the verse says, ki yikare kan tipar. If it happens that you find a nest of birds, that's to teach you that you don't have to go off looking for it. Now the Chavos Yair says, wait a second, why would I think that you have to go off looking for it? Why would I think you have to go traveling through the mountains to look for it? Where does that notion come from? He says it must be that you're supposed to try to do this mitzvah, and maybe the expectation would be so high that you even have to go, you know, hiking around to try to find it. No, that's not the Gemara thing. That's not the expectation. But what you are expected to do is still, if you have the opportunity to do it, to take advantage of it.
You know what, what I see is that actually, self-creation, for longevity of your life, you do a cruel deed, and you can have...
Well, that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because it's a mitzvah, because Hashem wants it. There's a reward, which is longevity.
Based on cruelty.
But Hashem asked you to do it, so it's not cruel. I think in our perspective, it's cruel. But if it's God's will, then it's the right thing to do. That's what the struggle is. It goes against our nature. But that's what this approach is saying, is sometimes to really show that you're you know, you're a servant of Hashem, you have to go against what seems normal to you. So the Chassam Sofer quotes this Chavos Yair, this opinion, and he argues on it, and he has many different halachic arguments based on inferences in the Gemara, and after, you know, basically proving his point, he then brings up the topic of the reason behind the mitzvah. And he says that it would seem that this question should depend on what is the reason behind the mitzvah. Meaning, again, the question that we're dealing with is, if you have a nest of chicks or eggs, and the mother's there, but you have no interest in the chicks, it's not for your own need, really, should you still send away the mother bird? So he says, very simply, if you assume, like the Rambam and the Ramban, that the point of the mitzvah is to be merciful, so then you obviously shouldn't do this, because this is the opposite of mercy. This is purpose, you know, purposeless. There's no reason for this. It's complete opposite. Zachzarius, it's cruel. You're just sending away the mother bird. I think part of the mitzvah is you have to take the eggs, but you're not going to do anything. There's no benefiting it. Purely cruel. So he says, so that if you would take that approach, then certainly you shouldn't do it. Now, he says, however, he said, the Chavos Yair himself quoted the Zohar. And according to the Zohar, it is supposed to be cruel. So if you're assuming like the Zohar, so then you certainly should do it, whether you need the eggs or not. It doesn't really make a difference. You're not doing it for your own need or for... You know, there's no, you're not, it's not that you're trying to do it in the most merciful way, but you have to do it because you have needs. It's nothing to do with that. It's actually an act of cruelty, and so it doesn't matter whether you need the eggs or not. He says, you know, our Gemara doesn't hold that way. So therefore, one shouldn't, we don't, when we have a dispute between the Zohar and the Gemara, so we, Paskin, we rule like the Gemara. We don't go with the Zohar. Now, the Vilna Gaon might take issue with this statement. The Chassam Sofer says, our Gemara didn't assume that way. Right? Our Gemara held that it was actually an act of mercy. So not necessarily. If you're the Vilna Gaon or you're the Yonah Sang Eifit, you understood the Gemara to be saying that it's actually an act of cruelty. They explained the Gemara when the Gemara said that you're making it into an act of mercy. And really, just as a Gezerah, the way that they explained the Gemara was that you're making it into an act of mercy when really it's a decree, it's an act of cruelty. And so our Gemara is saying that that's the reason. We don't understand. Right. Well, really, even just to add a layer, in a way we do understand it, meaning we understand that ultimately it's for the good because we're awakening Hashem's mercy upon the Jewish people. We don't see that with our own eyes, but we understand, right, that there's ultimately a good purpose. We can't see it.
We accept it because it's a sin.
Right. Okay, good. That's good. That's what we're here for. We got us thinking. Thinking about mitzvahs. So, now, the Chasam Sofer decides that, you know, our Gemara says it's the act of mercy, and therefore we should go with our Gemara, that's an act of mercy, and therefore if there's no eggs there, sorry, if you don't need the eggs, then you shouldn't do it, because that's purely an act of cruelty. And as I mentioned, you know, that is up for debate whether what our Gemara holds, because there are the Vilna Gaon and the Yonah Sanai, it's both understood our Gemara. The Argamar was actually saying that it is an act of cruelty. You're calling it an act of mercy, and really it's a gezeira, it's an act of cruelty. One point. Yeah, and the Vilna Gaon? Exactly. Exactly.
Not to make a joke, but Hashem has many years of experience.
Yes. So my brother has a muscle for this, which I like. He says, you know, a guest comes to a shul for a Shabbos. And Friday night, you know, he meets a bunch of people, and he kind of figures out who's who in the shul. Who are the, you know, the chassid people, the you know, the rabbanim and the talmid chachamim, and who are the wealthy people, and who holds, you know, positions in the shul, or, you know, is regarded. Okay, so now he knows who's who. Come Shabbos morning, and he comes to Laning, and he looks around at, you know, who are the chassid people, who's going to get the aliyah. And nobody, you know, they don't call on them. They, why didn't they get the, you know, why, how can you not give this great Rav, the Aliyah, how can you not give this big donor, he donated, his name is on the building, how can you not, you know, give him an Aliyah? And the answer is, well, you weren't here last week, and the week before, and the week before. You don't really have a perspective on this, on what's going on here. You understand, they do get their proper respect, you know, they do. It's just, you know, you have to be here a little bit longer to understand the dynamic and how things work around here. So yeah, if we lived a few lifetimes, then maybe we would get a better sense of how things work around here. But I think Hashem has, you know, he knows what he's doing, right? Very good. So, now the Chavos Yair, the Chassam Sofer, leaves off also with a question on the Zohar. He says, I don't understand this Zohar. What's the Zohar saying? It's saying that the reason for Shilua HaKing is that we're saying, you know, Hashem, we're in Golus, we're in exile. Just like, you know, the bird comes and he awakens Hashem to our plight, and, you know, and hopefully Hashem redeems us and brings us back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chassam Sofer says, 1 second. Did this mitzvah exist in the time of the Beis HaMikdash as well? Obviously it did. We had the Torah, right? Torah is timeless. So how could you say that the whole purpose of the mitzvah is only for when we're in Galus, what about during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when we were, you know, comfortable in the land of Israel? It says that, does it say that here? It doesn't say that here. It says that elsewhere, by other places where it mentions it. But here it just says, the Harach Toyam. Interesting point. So, now, so that's his question. How could the Zohar be correct? And that's the reason. How did it exist during the time of the Beis HaMikdash? What was the explanation for the mitzvah then? So the commentaries point out, Asher Weiss, others, that Sam Sofer apparently didn't see the whole Zohar inside. Because the Zohar actually asks that question. The Zohar, you know, he has a conversation there, and it says, "Come, Rabbi Lazar got up." I think Shimon bar Yochai had said this reason, and his son, Rabbi Lazar, said, "Wait, Abba, you know, what about when we're in Eretz Yisrael? How do you explain the mitzvah then?" So he responded that still, even then, it's for all the people who are out of Eretz Yisrael, they're in exile, they're lost. Even when the nation as a whole is in Eretz Yisrael, but there were still people scattered about, and that's who it would still be for. We would be saying, you know, Hashem, bring those lost children back home. And the Zohar addresses the question. So that question is not enough to override this halacha, you know, override the Zohar. But at the end of the day, he points out that Chassam Sofer really came with other proof that his halacha is right, that if you stumble upon the birds and you don't want them, that you shouldn't do it. And at the end of the day, that's how the Chassam Sofer comes out. And nowadays, I think, you know, depending on what school you're from, some people will go out of their way to do Shiva HaKeni, whether they really want the eggs or not, and they'll go with the Zohar, the Kabbalistic approach. And others are more, you know, in the school of the Chassam Sofer, and they won't do it if they're not interested in the egg. Now, a couple of other approaches to this mitzvah. So, really, you know, the starting point in general with this year is going to be the Sefer HaKenah. As I mentioned last week. We haven't touched the Sefer HaKenuch yet, because there's just so much going on here. But the Sefer HaKenuch also gets involved over here in explaining the mitzvah. Now, besides for quoting the entire Ramban and the Rambam's approaches, he also gives a little bit of his own discussion. And he seems to be going at the beginning with the Ramban's approach. The Ramban, I don't know if it's the Ramban. He begins his discussion by talking about how you see that Hashem cares about every animal. If Hashem is being merciful on the bird, then you see that his Ashgacha, he's involved with all creation. And especially with people. And, you know, with people on an individual level, with animals on a more general level. But Hashem desires the kiyum, the maintenance of that species. It really brings us back for a moment to an idea that we discussed last week, which I just have a little more clarity about now. We talked about how the Ramban said that one of the reasons for Yiluach HaKein and also the mitzvah of not slaughtering a mother and child on the same day is that that's like almost it symbolizes the extermination of that species. To take out two generations at once, that's symbolic of exterminating that species. And, you know, it's also helping, you know, it's on the way to doing that. So, at the time, somebody said, oh, well, that will apply to not killing the mother and the daughter and the child, but maybe not to Yiluach HaKein. But now that I'm thinking about it, no, it does apply to Shiva. Part of the mitzvah is also not to take the mother bird with the children. Don't take them together. It's not just don't take the children in front of the mother, but also don't take them off, because that's also going to give her, you know, pain, suffering. Don't take them. Don't take them together. Rather, send her away. So part of the idea behind this mitzvah is again maintaining the existence of every species. How Hashem cares for every single species. And a person can learn from here that if he guards the mitzvah and behaves in a proper way, so then Hashem will give him special hashkacha. Hashem will have an individual focus on him and will give him arichos yamim, will give him longevity. That's the connection between the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein and the harachta yamim, and you'll have long life, is that as a result of this mitzvah, you learn about the special hashkacha, the special focus that Hashem has, special care that Hashem has on every species, and especially on human beings. And you will, as a result, Hashem will give more hashkacha, special attention to that person in a good way, and will give that person lengthy days.
Sometimes we forget that because as human beings, it's hard to give up that.
I think we'll see over. I don't know if we're going to focus on them, but there are numerous mitzvot that bring out that, you know, to remind us of that idea. So, you know, Bikurim comes to mind. You bring your first fruit to remind you, you know, you didn't produce it. To give hodah, to give thanks to Hashem for giving them to you. Now, he says also, when you're maintaining the species, a result of arichos yamim, God willing, is that a person sees, if a person has longevity, then they see generation, and they see he merits children as a reward for this mitzvah. Where do we see that? So the Sefer HaChinuch has an interesting reading of the pasuk, which is that the pasuk says Shaleach tishaleach eshaim, you should send away the mother, ves habanim tikachlach, and take the children for yourself. He explains that it's also a remez, I think it's based on a medrash, but it's also a hint that you're going to take children as a result of this. As a reward for this mitzvah, you'll send away the mother, and you'll take in children, meaning that person will be rewarded with children as a reward for this mitzvah. And again, this is, I believe, that he's extending, he's making sure to maintain the species, the mother bird, the bird species. He's careful about this. So as a result, he also will have offspring as a reward. The Kuyakar has a similar idea here, connecting the reward of Arichos Yamim to the mitzvah. The Kuyakar says that we have two mitzvahs, right? As we mentioned, we have these two mitzvahs which seem to be interconnected. Kibud Avayim, honoring parents, and Shiluach HaKein, they both promise Arichos Yamim, longevity. So he says, now it's obvious why, and he like the Sefer HaChinuch seems to connect longevity with children, that you'll see children. Now it's obvious why Kibud Avayim, if a person honors his parents, why he should merit that he can have children that will honor him or her. Now, and they'll do the same thing when they grow up. He says, but the same is true for sending away the mother bird, because that's also a respect for the mother, for the for the mother of the family. And when and he says that, right, when your children see how you respect the mother, even by animals, you're respectful of the mother. So they'll learn that, you know, someone who, you know, gave birth to you to is someone who we have to honor. And they will, in turn, learn to honor the, will learn to honor the mother. Now, they both promise length of days. And he says, okay, so right, so and I guess again he's connecting length of days with children, and again because they both teach this this idea of honoring parents. That's the kliyata. So the Sefer HaChinuch now goes on. And he has his own approach to the Gemara and Brachot. So I think we're up to, so far, approach number four, possibly five. What did the Gemara mean when it said about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein that you're making it into Rachmanus? You're making it into, as if it's merciful, and really it's just a gezeirah, it's just a decree. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that don't think that when Hashem is merciful, it's in the same way that we are merciful. Meaning, we have mercy, first of all, it's one of the three signs of a Jew, is to be merciful. But people, it's natural in a person to be merciful, and that guides our actions. And someone who's merciful will have trouble, hopefully, being cruel. Right? It won't be easy for us to be cruel. We don't want to be cruel. It goes against our nature. And it's a struggle to do that. He says, when it comes to Hashem, when Hashem is merciful, it's not behefa, it's not by force, by nature, that Hashem is merciful. It's Hashem desires to be merciful, and therefore he's merciful. But he's not forced into that. It's not because it's a nature, you know. And he says, it's a gezeira. This is a decree that it was his desire that this should be that way. If he wanted it to be the opposite, it could have been the opposite. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That if you say, oh, you know, just as Hashem was merciful on the bird, so too should be merciful on us, that opinion in the Gemara felt that you are labeling Hashem as someone who he had to be merciful on the bird. It was the hechrus, it was by force. And he says, we don't want to label Hashem in that way. And that's what the problem was. That's why we silenced that person. And Engel Alexeris was Hashem's decree. It was Hashem's decision to be merciful in this situation. In other situations, Hashem may decide not to be merciful. And that's why we don't say that one shouldn't say, or that's what the Gemara means, you're making him his mitzvah into Rachmanis, like it's merciful, as if Hashem had to be merciful, and it's not so, it's only a gezeira, it's only a decree. It sounds like the problem is that a person is limiting Hashem by saying this. Right. Now, we do, in other places, you know, say that Hashem is, Mahu Rachum, Atzatei Rachum, Hashem is merciful, so too you should be merciful. What we mean by that is we mean Hashem relates to us in a merciful manner. I don't know why, specifically in this situation, you know, we would have this issue with calling Hashem merciful, that I don't know what about it is that makes it sound like I suppose it could be that we're assuming that if you take the Rambam's approach, like Hashem had, you know, Hashem did this, he gave this mitzvah out of mercy for the bird. So that makes it sound like, you know, that there was this deep desire for Hashem to be merciful on the birds, and he had to give a mitzvah for us to be merciful. And that's, you know, that's already saying too much, that, you know, it was necessary for Hashem to be merciful. But certainly Hashem will act towards us in a merciful way, and we'll refer to Hashem as merciful, but what we mean by that is Hashem relates to our world as a merciful manner, but we're not defining Hashem as merciful in his essence. When you're, the problem, I think, really lies in defining his essence in any, with any nido, with any attribute, when Hashem is beyond definition. We can't define him. Seems to be the issue at hand. So there's one more discussion about this mitzvah. One more that I know of, at least, that I came across, and that is the Maharal. Maharal is always challenging, deep, so I'll do my best to explain it. But maybe I'll just begin with his question on the Ramban. The Rambam he basically dismisses out of hand. He wasn't interested in the Rambam's approach, that the Rambam had said that it's out of mercy on the birds. Maharal doesn't even really discuss it. He somehow understood the Rambam to be arguing on both opinions in the Gemara, even though I think the simple reading of the Rambam says we don't paskin like the second opinion, he says, that says that the mitzvahs are for no reason, but I don't see in the Rambam that he's arguing on the first opinion, which said that you're creating, the reason why you don't say that Hashem is merciful is because you're creating jealousy between the creations. I don't see the Rambam arguing on that, but he understood that the Rambam was arguing on that also, that the Rambam was dismissing the whole Gemara, and the Maharal takes issue with that. How could the Rambam just dismiss the entire Gemara? And so he basically dismisses the Rambam. Now, in discussing the Ramban, so he's faced with a couple of questions. He says that it's just, if the point of the mitzvah is to teach us to be merciful, then some of the details of the mitzvah become a little bit difficult. Because, for example, he says, let's go back for a second to not slaughtering the mother and the baby on the same day. The Maharal asks, the mitzvah is on the same day, right? So if you do it in the morning, one in the morning, one in the evening, forbidden, right? Sorry, one in the morning and one before sunset. The same day, it's forbidden. One right before sunset, one right after sunset. Two different days, permitted. Says, how does that make any sense if the purpose of the mitzvah is, you know, to be merciful and not to slaughter them together? How does that fit in? By Shiua Chakein, he says, if the purpose is not to be cruel, to teach us to be merciful, so the halacha is, you only have to send away the mother bird if it's sitting on the egg. But if it's hovering over them, you don't have to send it away. What difference does that make if we're trying to be merciful? If the purpose is to be merciful, it shouldn't make a difference. The mother's right there. And yet we have this difference. If the mother's hovering, you're allowed to take the mother, you're allowed to take the egg. No mitzvah of Shiua Chakein if it's hovering over the egg. It's only if it's singing on them. We also have the concept of a ben pekua. Ben pekua is a child that's born from a shechted cow. So let's say you shecht a pregnant cow, and you pull out the baby, and the baby's fine, and then that baby, it's a girl, it's a female cow, yes, and that cow grows up and has a baby. So the halacha of Oso Veskino doesn't apply to the Ben Pekua, the one that was born after slaughter, because it's considered already slaughtered. That's the halacha. Really, midoraisa from the Torah, if a cow was born from a pregnant cow that had been slaughtered, we consider it like the baby was slaughtered also, even though it's walking around. And it doesn't require shlita. You don't have to slaughter it to eat it. And you don't have to... And this mitzvah of Oso Vespino, of not slaughtering them on the same day, doesn't apply. So, if that's the case, then, you know, where's the mercy in that? Very nice that, you know, it was born from a slaughtered cow, but it's a cow, and it's going to see its children, its child slaughtered. Where's the mercy? The Maharal says the mitzvot are not, they're not about mercy. It's not what the what these mitzvot are about. Maharal says, that when the Gemara says that you're making Hashem's nidos merciful, and they're only gezeiros, they're only decrees, what it means is Hashem doesn't rule this world with rachamim, with mercy. Hashem rules the world with din, with justice. Justice is straight. It's just, it's true and straight, it's emet. Rachamim, mercy, is a departure somewhat from truth and straightness. Now, we might be familiar with the concept that Hashem created the world with din, at first only din, only justice, and then he saw that it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't work without rachamim also, and he brought in rachamim, he brought in mercy. But the main nida, the main attribute that Hashem runs the world with, is justice. And rachamim has its place, but it's a departure from the truth. By definition, mercy means on something that doesn't necessarily deserve it. Otherwise, it's not mercy. If something deserves it, then it's not mercy, it's justice. If somebody deserves to be given tzedakah, then you're not being merciful, you're being just. You deserve it. So it's rachamim by definition is a departure from that. So, but the normal way that Hashem runs the world is din. And if a person says, you know, Achan Sipor Yogiu Rachamecha, Hashem's mercy is upon the birds, so then, says the Maharal, he's making the midos of Hashem into mercy, and they're only rachamim. They're only din. Hashem runs the world with din. So,
because when it came to the Gemara's question of how much is a shlish, should we take the stringent view or the lenient view of a shlish, that, he said, well, that's Dirabana. What's Dirabana? The number one third is Dirabana. But Hinder Mitzvah as a whole,
First is all Elohim, which is din. Right, so either you see that there's special treatment of man, or you see that's when now it was necessary to have mercy. I think that's the normal approach, the simple approach, is that now it was necessary, now that there was man, now mercy became necessary. So let me just find where he explains the mitzvah.
I don't think he
could be somewhere here. He goes into more detail, but that's the basic idea. Don't try and make the mitzvot into, you know, it's merciful. It doesn't fit. He has all these questions on it. Hashem has dinim, he has laws, and he has mitzvot, he has commandments, and it may be that a person develops, there's good on the side, he quotes many psukim that seem to indicate, if you keep the mitzvot, it will be good for you. Because, those are side benefits, that's not the purpose of the mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is just straight, Hashem wills this, and we do it.
For example, you have a judge, court, based on the fact, he's going to put the verdict on him. And if it's a good judge, he's not going to let the mercy interfere with his decision.
Right, exactly. All right, so I think it could be that he elaborates on this more.
on that one third. And the saying that because the number one third is certainly there above us.
Number one brought him a fruit.
We're going to skip a paragraph.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to hold it here.